Lights are everywhere at this time of year. There's the flicker of menorah candles, the blinking of ropes of colorful Christmas lights, the glow of Christmas candles and illuminated angels and Santas, the Yule logs burning in fireplaces, the seven candles of the African-American Kwanzaa celebration. Many cultures in the Northern Hemisphere hold their light-filled ceremonies and celebrations at this darkest time of year, near the winter solstice. Today, as our days continue to grow darker, I would like to talk about light. Not physical light, but light as a metaphor of the spiritual dimension of life. Light as a symbol of awakening, or a reawakening to a sense of wonder and hope, which can come to us even in the midst of darkness and pain. The novelist John Cheever once defined religion as the pursuit of radiance. This definition appeals to me. Religion, as I see it, is not a set of creeds and dogmas. It's not the saying of prescribed prayers or the following of a particular ritual or tradition. These may be the means to a religious life, to an awakened life, but they are not the religious life itself. For me, the word radiance captures an elusive quality of life that I believe people seek, knowingly or not, and that some of the great religious leaders of history have found and have tried to teach about. Radiance. A person who is spiritually awake can see and feel the radiance of things, how each part of the universe is connected with the whole, how our lives are deeply interwoven with the lives of other beings, how love and passion and emotional experience infuse life with a sense of meaning and purpose, how art and poetry and music capture a piece of this radiance and present it to our hungry senses, how our actions help improve the world by bringing this light out of ourselves and connecting us with the lives and the well-being of others. I would venture to say that all of us have at least had glimpses of this kind of radiance of which I speak. Metaphorically speaking, most of us live much of our lives in a kind of darkness, perhaps doing and accomplishing a great deal, but not really being aware and present to ourselves and to our world, not seeing the miraculous which is right there in the commonplace stuff of our lives. Occasionally, though, the light breaks through. Sylvia Plath, a poet whose personal life was one of struggle and pain, was still able to perceive the radiance at times, as this poem of hers illustrates. The poem is titled Black Rook in Rainy Weather, and I read a somewhat excerpted version. On a stiff twig up there hunches a wet black rook, arranging and rearranging its feathers in the rain. I do not expect miracle or an accident to set the sight on fire in my eye, nor seek any more in this desultory weather some design. Although, I admit, I desire occasionally some back talk from the mute sky. I can't honestly complain. A certain minor light may still leak incandescent out of a kitchen table or chair, as if a celestial burning took possession of the most obtuse objects now and then, thus hallowing an interval otherwise inconsequent. Even in this dull, ruinous landscape, I seek and walk wary, skeptical yet polite, ignorant of whatever angel may choose to flare suddenly at my elbow. I only know that a rook ordering its black feathers can so shine as to seize my senses, haul my eyelids up, and grant a brief respite from fear of total neutrality. Miracles occur. If you care to call these spasmodic tricks of radiance miracles, the wait's begun again. The long wait for the angel, for that rare, random descent. In that poem, Sylvia Plath uses poignant imagery of light and vision, the celestial burning that can make something as ordinary as a kitchen table glow with radiance, the angel that, as she says, flares suddenly at my elbow, the shining bird feathers that can haul my eyelids up, these tricks of radiance that come at random into our lives. Perhaps this sudden flaring of an angel at your elbow has happened to you, awakening you to the miracle and the mystery of being. Perhaps it was like this. On a clear winter night, you are out walking alone, turning over in your mind all the things you have to do, all the deadlines that await you, and then you happen to look up. And there's Orion in the sky, that great constellation that you have known since childhood, with the three bright stars in his belt shimmering. And you feel momentarily transported out of yourself and your mundane concerns, and lifted up to a sense of being one with something larger. This is radiance. Or maybe something has gone wrong in your life. Someone has hurt you, or money troubles are upsetting you, or someone you love is seriously ill, and you've got what a therapist I know calls a sense of the 3 a.m.s. A case of the 3 a.m.s. You toss and you turn at night. You fret and you worry by day. And your life feels like one giant bleeding wound. But oddly, every now and then, maybe only once or twice while you're in this tunnel of despair, you feel a lightness. You feel a surprising buoyancy. Even a bit of joy. And you know that you have a core of strength within you, and maybe a source of strength outside of you. You can call it God, or the Tao, or the ground of being, or the great mystery. And this strength is something that you know you can fall back on. Something says to you, you will get through this. This is radiance. Perhaps you've just read the newspaper and you were brooding about the sorry state of the world. Things look bleak. People are suffering. Children are hungry. Young black men die. An increase of selfishness and cynicism seems to abound in the world. And it all just gets you down. While you're ruminating about all of this, an angel flares at your elbow in the form of a child coming near to hug you or to ask for help. Or the angel is your spouse or your partner or your friend speaking kindly to you. Or you just suddenly think of someone you care about and you are transported on a beam of love out of your dark gloom. This is radiance. This experience of radiance obviously does not make the pain of the world or the pain of your life go away. It is still there, but you are somehow stronger to cope. And you may feel also inspired to try to help in some way. The experience of radiance can chase away the demon of cynicism. It can help us choose to light one candle rather than just curse the darkness. And the action you take out of this transcendent feeling, this act of love, is itself radiance. It's as if the universe is infused with this radiance, which flares into our awareness now and then. Some have personified it and called it God, others love, or the goddess, or the interdependent web of existence. Some give it an impersonal name, the ultimate, the ground of being, the Tao. Some don't name it at all. Skeptics may deny it, and yet I believe that they are nourished by it also. To me, it seems that the poets, more than the philosophers and theologians, can convey something of the essence of this light, this experience of radiance, as in this poem by Richard Eberhardt, also excerpted. It's called The Incomparable Light. The light beyond compare is the light I saw. I saw it on the mountaintops, the light beyond compare. I saw it in childhood too. I glimpsed it in the turbulence of growing. I saw it in political action. Elusive element, final mystery. The light beyond compare has been my visitant, some sort of angel sometimes at my shoulder, a beckoning guide, elusive nevertheless. Under the mind where currents of being are running, it is this strange light I come back to. The light beyond compare is my meaning. It is the secret source of my beginning, issuance of uniqueness, signal upon suffering. It is the wordless bind of all endings. It is the subtle flesh that tells our song, inescapable brotherhood of the living, our mystery of time, the only hopeful light. John Cheever talked about the pursuit of radiance. So how can we pursue, or at least open ourselves up to, this kind of enriching and sustaining experience? How can we learn to see or feel the radiance of the universe, that light beyond compare? It would seem as if it only comes unbidden, like a gift. And it does come this way, flaring like an angel, sometimes when we least expect it. But I believe this kind of seeing is also something we can try to make ourselves more open to. As the writer Annie Dillard says, I cannot cause light. The most I can do is try to put myself in the path of its beam. There are many ways that people have tried to put themselves in the path of this light of insight and awareness. You can follow any number of spiritual disciplines, yoga, prayer, ritual, some form of meditation, journal writing, creating or appreciating art, walking in nature, or some other physical activity. For myself, I find that a brief daily period of quiet meditation helps me to be more receptive to the tricks of radiance that may come my way. I sometimes use a favorite line of poetry as a kind of centering chant. I have also found the writings and meditative exercises of the Vietnamese Zen teacher Thich Nhat Hanh to be helpful, especially in his book, The Blooming of a Lotus, which offers some simple breathing and meditation exercises, including particularly helpful ones for dealing with the agitation, anger, and sense of separation that we all sometimes feel. There are many such tools for the spiritual quest, for pursuing radiance. Actually, though, no books or tools or specific exercises are even needed. Just sitting in silence for a few minutes may be of help. as Thich Nhat Hanh puts it, quoting an ancient Buddhist discipline, you only need to sit and be present to the moment, not waiting for a miracle, just being. A simple practice, yet few of us give ourselves this gift on any regular basis. We seem to think we're too busy. Well, the holidays are here, the malls are crowded, the traffic is thick, and we are terribly busy. Yet maybe we can give ourselves one simple gift for this holiday season, the gift of quietude and a bit of unscheduled time, so that we may have eyes to see the celestial burning, the flaring of angels, the glowing radiance of all that is. I close with the words of an Inuit Indian song. As I thought over again my small adventures, as with the shore wind I drifted out in my kayak and thought I was in danger, my fears, those small ones that I thought so big, for all the vital things I had to get and to reach. And yet, there is only one great thing, the only thing, to live to see in huts and on journeys the great day that dawns and the light that fills the world.